There's so much that I would like to say to you. When I first time I came to Briarwood was when we were beginning, when we started the PCA. I'd actually left the PCUS before the PCA was formed. And remember coming to this church, that first gathering, General Assembly, and the years and the days leading up, the weeks leading up to this conference, I thought about the years that this church has had an impact upon my life, upon the lives of people that I know. I would love to rehearse that, but we don't have time. And we've got serious things to talk about. So I will just know this. I am so thankful for this church and thankful for your leadership. And I'm looking forward to this weekend. Everyone in this room is involved in taking the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ to the United States of America. The conference this weekend has been designed to celebrate the many ministries that are engaged in this great endeavor, this great national endeavor. Briarwood is seeking not only to celebrate those ministries, but to encourage and enable those ministries to advance the kingdom of God. And that is the single most important thing we can do. I could not think of a better title for this conference than for such a time as this. I can say that because I had nothing to do with choosing the title and theme. But when the theme was sent to me, I just laughed. I laughed because it fit perfectly. It fit perfectly with the messages that I had written for this conference. There's a question that I have been asked more than any other question for the last 3 years. One question, more than any other. Last week I was talking to my older sister, Pat Cooper. She was the wife of Dr. Cortez Cooper, who was a PCA minister and moderator of the PCA. He died 11 years ago this month. We came to a point in our conversation, and Pat said, "John, what has happened? What is happening to our country?" That's the question I've been asked far more than any other question in these recent years. Why did she ask that question? The same reason we ourselves are asking that question, that you are asking that question. We're living in a society, all of us are, in which we have never lived. In January 1973, abortion became a legal right in this country. I heard a minister speaking about this. And it was a powerful message about just warning the danger in which we were going to live. We heard not to worry. It's just about abortion in cases of rape, abortion when a mother's life is in danger, not to worry. But this minister, he really got it. He really understood. And he talked about abortion clinics being prolific all across the country and said, "There'll be an abortion clinic in your neighborhood." He spoke of the billions of dollars that this would bring to the medical community. Of course, his prophecy was filed as extremist propaganda. But the prophecy was on target. 63 million abortions later. Millions of women are fighting in this country. They're fighting the recent Supreme Court ruling that canceled Roe versus Wade and turned it over to the individual states. Those women fighting for the right to kill their children are joined by doctors, judges, political leaders, and universities who are appalled. Imagine this, appalled that the Supreme Court would make such a decision that Roe versus Wade would be canceled. They now have developed mobile abortion clinics to be driven to the state lines of states that will prohibit abortion so that people can come across the state line. Mobile abortion units. We rightly held the leaders of Nazi Germany responsible for the genocide of 6 million Jews. What they did pales in comparison, as horrific as it was, it pales in comparison to the genocide of 63 million babies. That's in this country. It has become convenient for many in the evangelical church. It's become convenient to be strangely silent about this atrocity because our culture has become so accustomed to this heinous sin. On June 26, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down all state bans on same-sex marriage, legalized in all 50 states and required states to honor out-of-state same-sex marriage license. God's definition, the Judeo-Christian definition of marriage had stood for thousands of years. And now, in this land in which we live, to oppose same-sex marriage is to use hate language. People, our secular culture is looking at what God, think about this, of what God calls evil. Our culture is looking and said, no, it's good. Our culture is saying, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are a narrow-minded bigot to call this evil. That's the mindset of our culture. Gender identity. In many states, children are being taught that they can change their gender. The gender assigned at birth, you can change that. God, it doesn't matter if you made me to be a boy. I can choose to be a girl. You made me a girl, I can choose to be a boy. That's why the most frequently asked question has become, what's happened to our country? Why are these things happening? Folks, it's not rocket science. It's really not. Our culture has been marginalizing God, marginalizing His word, marginalizing His law, marginalizing His salvation for decades. In 1950, the Gallup poll asked this question. Were you raised with no religious training? Only 6% of the people in the United States in 1950 said, I was raised without any religious training. Only 6%. That same question was asked 39 years later in 1989. In 1989, 38% of the country said we were raised with no religious training. That last poll, 38%, that was 33 years ago. What do you think it is today? If I'm speaking in a cultural setting to people under 40, I assume they know nothing about the Bible, nothing about Jesus. If I say to them, Jesus died for your sins, they don't have a clue as to who Jesus is. And they could care less about sin. You want to hear the world laugh? Go to the university. Go to the university and tell them that casual sex is a sin. You'll just hear laughter, scorn. Why? We've just said it. Something has happened spiritually in this country. There's a passage in Psalm 2 that describes exactly what is happening in our culture. You know the psalm, Psalm 2, verses 1 and 2. Why do the heathens rage and the peoples plot in vain? This, by the way, this is a perfect description of what's happening. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, the presidents of the earth, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and the Lord's anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. What's he saying? The nations rage and plot against God. The kings and presidents are set in concrete in their opposition to God. The kings and nations have cried out since the beginning, we want autonomy. Let's throw off the chains. Let's throw off the chains. The chains of his will, the chains of his written word, the chains of his command, the chains of his reign. Throw those chains off. That was happening in David's day. This was written 3,000 years ago. It was happening. This psalm is quoted in the book of Acts. It was happening in the Roman Empire. And it's happening today. We can kill 63 million babies in the womb for the convenience and betterment of an enlightened culture. That's why it's being done. We can redefine marriage. Man's in charge. Man's in charge, not God. We can decide, our children can decide what their gender is, not God. Now, what's God's response to this rebellion against his rule? We read, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Now, this is a holy, righteous laughter. The laughter of God at a ludicrous attempt to dethrone. That men would actually think, we can dethrone. We can cast out the Almighty. For mere creatures who are completely dependent on him for every aspect of their lives to do battle with the omnipotent people, that's absurd. It's absurd. The idea that any king or nation or groups of kings or nations could conquer and dethrone God himself is ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous scene on this earth. When a godless culture, with all of its education, all of its graduate schools, all of its science, all of its vast knowledge, all of its material wealth, all of its vaunted social, political, and military might, decides that God is archaic. He's archaic. He must be put in some dusty museum for the amusement of a far more enlightened culture. God's looking at that. Their derision, I'm sorry, I've gotten away from this. Their derision will be short-lived. His won't. Now, this is an odd beginning. This is an odd beginning for a national missions conference. I'm supposed to be encouraging you. I have served as a minister in churches hosting mission conferences in this country for 50 years. In my home church. Mission conference after mission conference after mission conference. I have spoken in other churches hosting mission conferences for 50 years. I have never opened any missions conference in those 50 years with the words that I have just spoken. But tonight I had to. This is the world into which God is sending us. It is a specific current culture trying to throw off, with all of its might, trying to throw off the rule of God in His Word. It is a world hostile to the gospel. It's a world hostile to the people of God. This weekend, we will go back to the basics. And we will understand what Jesus said to the disciples as He sent them out into a hostile world. Mordecai and Esther were in a pagan culture. A culture that was hostile to their God and hostile to them. And hostile to the very, very existence. Their lives were in physical danger. They would certainly die because of who they were. Mordecai said to Esther, "We cannot be silent." Go back and read it. Said, "We cannot be silent." That's not an option. And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. People, this we do know. In God's providence, we were created. This we know. In God's providence and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we were recreated. And this we know. We have been called to this specific time to bring His Word and His Gospel to a secular culture bent on autonomy from Him and His Word. He has brought us to this point and to this place. Jesus, how do we go into this culture? A culture with a powerful hostility to You and to Your Word. I pray in this conference this weekend, we will see and hear how Jesus Himself answers that question. Amen.